Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 1, Dragonstone, and Season 7, Episode 2, Stormborn.
Yeah. Why is it?
I hate that they're all to do with Daenerys.
Like, it's so annoying.
The first episode doesn't even have anything to do with Daenerys, except the very end.
And as many of them in the past have done, and yet they give her all this airtime with the titles. I don't get it. Anyway, so we have caveats. We have disclaimers. We have things. I know, I just said the two things that make you crazy. Why? Because I love you.
Things also drives me crazy. I will just say that now.
These include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we're having things to drink. What do you have to drink?
A chocolate milkshake. I was in the mood.
It's a good choice. It's definitely a good choice. I am having something that I have decided to call Dornish Sunset. It is equal parts Buffalo Trace bourbon and tangerine.
I thought you were going to say buffalo sauce. I'm sorry, that threw me off.
It looks a little like that. It's bright orange like that. No, it's Buffalo Trace bourbon and tangerine syrup, the Tarani tangerine syrup, over an old-fashioned ice cube, the big round ones. So it is a bourbon drink. It is really quite tasty. Your daddy's actually been drinking these, although they don't have a real name. I like the idea of Dornish Sunset as a name. And it sort of ties this episode. Maybe, maybe not. But I couldn't come up with one. Like the last episode, if I were going by the book, the last two episodes of season 6 would have probably been a good time for Wildfire Jello Shots. But I really love the Battle of the Bastards so much, I'd much rather talk about that. So that's why my drink was tied to that episode rather than the last episode. And this one, I thought about doing, you know, like just pouring myself some white wine, calling it Arbor Gold, because there are reasons to do that. Or Dornish Red. I thought about that too. But then this drink is just so pretty. Why not? So here we are. What are some?
Give me one second. Okay. We have the Twins / Road.
Yes.
So that's Arya's stuff. Winterfell, Dragonstone, Old Town, King's Landing, Beyond the Wall, and Northern Road. I'm going to start with the Twins / Road. Since you got to do the Twins last time, I get to do the Twins this time.
Fine. You know how much I love this, though.
I'm well aware. Walder Frey has gathered his whole family for a feast, which is shocking because last we checked, Walder Frey is dead.
Was that a dream? We don't know.
It was certainly my dream. he has special wine brought in. It's Arbor Gold, and it's much better than the Dornish piss they usually drink, all that stuff. He doesn't drink it and stops his wife from drinking. He has a toast talking about being quote-unquote heroes who slaughtered the Starks, killing a babe in its mother's womb, killing a mother of five, and killing someone you invited into your house and proclaimed king in the north. Obviously, the wine has been poisoned and all the Freys die. Well,
yes!
All the Freys apparently worth a damn die.
Yes!
And all the men really die. I mean, the daughters didn't really have anything to do with it, so it's all the men. And Walder says, leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe. His face is taken off, and of course it's Arya. She tells the wife to tell people the North remembers, and winter came for House Frey.
And she has her walk-off smile like Sansa did in the last one. It's got a little bit of like, your name will be forgotten.
It's giving the same thing. It's that, and also tell people what happened here. Tell them that what happened when Daenerys came and got the slavers or whatever. Kind of
Yeah, exactly.
It's a combination of everything, and it's before the title sequence. So it's so good. I remember, I think you were out of town because this was the first season I watched live. It was me and my dad, and we were watching, and that came on, and when we were done, we looked at each other and we started squealing with delight, like, oh my god, yes.
No, I think
so she avenged the Red Wedding.
I might have been at my summer conference. I can't remember.
I think
where
you
I
were.
Was.
I think you were on Jekyll or something.
Yeah,
like
I could
that.
have been. Yeah, because a lot of these things, much like the Harry Potter stuff, all have associations with summer conference to me. So I was like probably, you know, not, I was doing something and then I had to watch the episode later. I was like,
yeah. And yes! All right, so on the road, Arya is riding to King's Landing and hears Ed Sheeran randomly and other Lannister guards singing a song, and they offer her some food. They are probably the nicest people she has ever met on the road, except for that farmer and his daughter. They will come up later.
Yes.
They are kind to her even when she's scoping out their weapons to make sure that she thinks it's a trick, obviously, because they're Lannister guards, and so she doesn't trust that. And they talk about how they miss home and they're only here because they were sent to deal with the Freys, the uproar after the Freys all were killed and all that stuff, because obviously shit's going to go down. And one of the guys talks about, hey, yeah, no, my wife was pregnant when I left and I'm sure she's given birth by now. And they're like, oh, I don't even know what the gender of the baby is. I hope it's a girl because the girls take care of their parents when they die or when they're sick or old or whatever. And ain't that the truth? Anyway, there's also this moment where like they're going to hand her some blackberry wine that one of them made. And he hands it up before he hands it over. He's like, are you of legal drinking age? And I'm like, there's a fucking legal drinking age in Westeros. Since fucking when?
What the fuck,
who
people?
Shit.
She's been drinking ale all this time.
Yeah, fuck that. No. And then she says that, like, they're like, hey, what is a nice girl like you going down to King's Landing for ever, and also all of them hate King's Landing.
Yeah,
but that's
right.
Just where they have to live because that's where they're stationed. And she says, oh, I'm going to kill the queen. And then they all just start laughing like it's a joke. And she's like, yeah, you wish it was a joke. And and yeah, that's that.
That
so
is
where
that.
Do you want to go next?
You
want to just do Dragonstone and get it over with?
Yeah, it's really short and stupid. Much like North of the Wall is kind of short and stupid too, but we're going to do both of those. So Dragonstone, and this is right at the end of the episode, but whatever. So Daenerys and her crowd arrive at this beautiful island. And I looked it up. It is an island off the coast of Spain. It's you know,
it does really not look like Spain. So they did a good job of making it look less like Spain.
It's like the northern side of Spain, so it's going to be like toward the channel. Yeah, it's going to be like that area. But it is beautiful. It's got all these mineral outcroppings, and it's beautiful cliffs and all this other stuff. So she walks up to the castle at Dragonstone. This is incredibly defensible. Of course, they're using this set a lot, or this green screen addition to the set a lot, in House of the Dragon as well, but they're
obviously
gates with dragon heads. The gates are open, and it's a really, really long stairwell up this cliff face to the actual castle itself. The Stannis banners are still up, but you know, it's clearly an abandoned castle. They tear those banners down. She walks up to the throne, doesn't go to sit on it, but she goes to the left to the map room. And everyone goes in there and she says, shall we begin?
Again.
Ta-da! My trick.
Her catchphrase.
I'm in Westeros. But again, you know, the shots are, and it's clearly very meaningful. Her, you know, she does kneel down, blah, 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 whatever. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So,
all right, beyond the wall, the winter mist is coming and the army of the dead with it, with the Night King leading them on his dead horse. Might as well beat the dead horse while we're at it. So I forgot that the Bran thing happened in this episode, so I was just thinking, is this the only shot we're gonna have for Beyond the Wall? Is that all I'm gonna have to talk about? But no, Bran and Bran has a vision of the army of the dead coming towards them as they approach the wall. Ed comes in. They open the gates. Ed comes in and questions them. Mira introduces them. Mira's just so tired. She's so sick of this shit.
Yeah,
Bran says, like, when Ed questioned, but she's like, I'm Mira Reed, daughter of Howland Reed. This is Bran Stark of Winterfell, son of Ned Stark. And Ed's like, how do I know that's true? And I would have given anything. Like, Bran says, oh, some random shit that he's not supposed to know about Ed, that he's seen the Army of the Dead and all that stuff, and that they need to go south and all that stuff. So Ed, of course, lets them in. I would have given anything if Bran, because Bran, like, is laying kind of down a little bit. He kind of, like, perks his head up a little bit, and just, I wish he said, why would we lie? Like, what good would that do us if we're being completely honest? I'm not a cripple. Ooh, I can walk. No, I can't fucking walk.
Well, it is, you know, your daddy pointed out, it's like, that, how does that prove your brand? I mean, he doesn't know anything about the three-eyed raven. This doesn't prove anything.
Exactly. I'm just like, you just know things because you were beyond the wall. And he's like, hey, are you wildlings? And it wouldn't really matter because Ed's okay with the wildling thing. Right. So I'm like, okay.
Right. But as far as, like, identifying, I'm like, how many other cripples are wandering around past the
floor? Exactly. Like, what?
Well, and they're so well spoken too. They're clearly not wildlings, but whatever. It's
and again, fine. Why it's would they lie? What's the point in them lying?
And yes, it's an interesting question. So, which, where do you want to go next? Winterfell, King's Landing.
Do King's Landing. It's really brief.
Yeah, King's Landing. All right. So, Cersei is having a courtyard floor painted with a map of Westeros. Reigns of Castamere is playing, sadly. Jaime is not sure if he is afraid of Cersei or if he should be.
He's oddly aroused.
She points out, hey, you know, our brother, that guy you released, is now the hand of the queen for Daenerys. They're going to be landing at Dragonstone. This is like sucky bullshit. We're surrounded by traitors, and you know, and Jamie's like, look, we don't even have any allies.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you've pissed off the Tyrells, you've done all this other stuff. And he's like, we can't win a war if we can't feed an army. So right now we look like a losing side. Who's going to join us? And she's like, oh, but we could build a dynasty, just the two of us. It's so great. And he's like, our children are dead. What dynasty? What the fuck are you talking about? And then he's like, look, we've got to talk about Tommen. We've never talked about what happened. He killed himself. And this is what she says. And this makes me really angry. He betrayed me. And I'm like, fucking psychopath. And he's like, what? And she's like, we're the last Lannisters, the last ones who count. And you know, and James still like, we have no allies. We don't even have the Freys. I mean, the Freys kind of sucked as allies, but they were people. They were bodies. And she's like, well, we will find other allies. And so the other allies, and I originally had this listed as boats, but now
you didn't need that.
I know.
I couldn't remember exactly
what was going on. With the Armada of Euron. Armada of Euron. They built 1,000 ships in less than an hour.
Less than an hour.
Well, it's kind of like green screen, and then you copy and copy and copy. It's great. I will say this, and not only that, they built it super fast with no trees, no people.
I will quote myself, not a fucking fur in sight. Especially not anymore.
Okay, I have to point out too that the craftsmanship of these ships is really amazing. I mean, it's not just the lead ship that looks cool. There's like so much painting and molding, and there's this very menacing, like they have, you know, these gangplanks with teeth and kind of dragony looking or kraken teeth. It's like really scary. And I've got questions like, how the fuck you have no people or trees? And it floats up to King's Landing. And Jamie says to Cersei, you invited the Greyjoys? They're just like the fucking Freys.
He says they're not good at anything.
I love this. They're not good at anything. They are bitter, angry little people.
That's so true.
And he's like, what? what are they coming for? And she's like, I didn't promise them anything, that Euron's coming for a queen. And Jamie's kind of like, you're trying to be jealous with this shit? Okay. They go to the throne room, and in the throne room, Euron is rock star Euron. I do like
he's so like Euron. Funny, like the way he's standing, like kind of at an angle,
he's
or like
got
a drug addict's burst to position, kind of just like.
Got, like, all this black leather and guy liner and all this stuff.
He's so fucking funny. Love his energy.
Hilarious.
Love it.
He is
like
hilarious.
Sophie, my roommate, was watching with me, and she's like, in this and the next episode, he gets points for flair.
Oh, he definitely does. Oh, he gives this speech to Cersei, like why they should join up. He's like, we can be murdering our treasonous family members together.
She's like, you murdered your brother. And he says, you should try it sometime. It feels wonderful. And there's a shot of Jaime looking at Cersei kind of concerned.
Right. It's like, oh my God. So you know, he wants to kind of walk up on the throne and talk to Cersei, and Mountainstein prevents him. And then they talk about how, you know, she's like, I reject your proposal. You started a rebellion, and Jamie's like, yeah, you started a rebellion and the Lannisters finished it. And Euron's kind of like, the place is getting crowded. And he's like, we were killing your people. It was okay. It was
that was a good thing, actually.
It was cool to watch. Awesome. Good job.
I love him.
He's so fucking crazy. And Cersei's kind of like, you're not humble. And he's like, you're not either.
Isn't that the truth?
And he's like,
a match made in hell.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, with the Iron Fleet, we can own the seas. I've always wanted to marry the most beautiful woman in the world, and I've got two good hands. And then Jamie's like,
I loved that. That was so good.
I know. I hate you.
I love that he didn't talk about his dick. He was just like, I got two good hands. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
Oh my God. So yeah, Cersei's declining. And he's like, yeah, you want a present, and I need to bring you a priceless gift. I won't be back until I can bring you a priceless gift.
Sophie asked, like, she was like, what is a priceless gift to Cersei?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll see. Come and see.
I'll do Northern Road.
Okay. I do love Northern Road.
I know you do, but it's pretty quick, and it's kind of
understandable. I really love Northern Road, I'm just saying.
I know. I have this great, long, like, quote from it.
Good.
The Hound and the Brotherhood are heading north. Thor Samir says, it's a bad night to be outdoors. They're in the middle of a snowstorm. And the Hound says, you've got real powerful magic to figure that out. Did the Lord of Light whisper that in your ear? It's snowing, Thoros. It's windy. It's going to be a bad night to be outside. I love the Hound so much.
There's so much good writing in these episodes. And there was great stuff in season 6. There is fantastic stuff here, too.
They stop at the farm from the religious man and daughter the Hound stole from. It's their farm, and he's hesitant to go inside because he recognizes the house, but they go inside anyway and find the farmer and his daughter's skeletons in the corner, like hugging each other. Beric thinks that they were starving and the farmer killed his daughter and then killed himself just so that he didn't have to watch her suffer. The Hound wonders why Beric keeps getting brought back, even though he isn't that great of a guy. And Beric's like, you don't think I question that every day? Like, I have no idea. And Thoros makes the Hound look into the flames. And the Hound is like, it's just my fucking luck that I get stuck with a lot of fire watchers. Like, I mean, it's so funny.
He has one other really good line where he's talking about Thoros. And he's like, you're not fooling anyone, top knot.
Bald cunt. It's just so funny. Thoros makes the Hound look into the flames. He sees the wall where it meets the sea, so east, watched by the sea, a mountain that looks like an arrowhead, and the dead are marching past it. Later that night, the Hound gives the farmer and daughter proper burials, and Thoros sees him do it. Thoros figures out that he knew them, and he helps bury them. The Hound tries to do the last rites of the seven-pointed star, but he completely forgets what he's supposed to say, and he just ends up saying, "I'm sorry you're dead.
You deserved better.
Yeah. You both deserved so much better." So yeah, that's that.
Old Town and Winterfell.
Do you want to do Old Town or Winterfell?
That's hard. I'm going to do Old Town because so we've got Sam, and he's restocking the library shelves. He's emptying bedpans. He's serving girls. And all of this stuff like makes him want to vomit, especially the emptying bedpans and washing that. It's disgusting. And he's looking at the restricted section of the library. There's so much.
I made a note of, much like Harry, he wants to go into the restricted section.
Yes. Yes. And then it repeats day after day. This is how it is. And it looks more and more like the best books or the books that he really wants are in there. He has to assist the Archmaester with all kinds of weird stuff.
Archmaester Slughorn.
Yes. Archmaester Slughorn. He's doing an autopsy. Sam asks, he's like, "Look, I need to learn some more about some dragon glass and shit. Can I get into the restricted section?" And the Archmaester's like, "No." And he's like, "Look," Sam says, "I have seen the Army of the Dead. They're White Walkers. They exist. And everyone around here acts like they don't exist, or they doubt me and all this stuff. But I definitely saw it." And the Archmaester says, "Look, there are too many similarities in the stories. The simplest explanation is that you're telling the truth." I want to point out, Jim Broadbent is this character. Jim Broadbent, also the professor in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, says that exact same line to Peter, Susan, Emmy, and Lucy when they're when Lucy's talking, when they get out. Right. It's the first time when Lucy's still talking about, "Oh, I've been to Narnia and blah, blah, blah." And she's talking about
it. And they don't believe her.
They don't believe her. They go to the professor, and he's like, "There's the simplest explanation. She's telling the truth. She's been the most honest person. Edmund's usually a liar. You should believe the one who's honest."
Edmund's usually a liar. I mean, you're not wrong. But I mean, I that's the Narnia crossover with Game of Thrones we always play.
Exactly.
Like, what are you trying to tell me about?
Harry Potter. We got all of the good fantasy shit going on right here in Old Town. There's good stuff going on. So, what the Archmaester says is like that we don't engage in this stuff. We are this world's memory. We have to like basically make sure that everybody knows what else happens. Otherwise, we're just animals. And he's like, the wall has to withstand every winter, all the winters end. It's gonna be fine, essentially. And Sam's kind of like, "I don't think so." And so he steals a key from one of the maesters. He gets books. He takes the books back to where he's living with Gilly and little Sam. And he's flipping through the book. And we see in the book, and this is really kind of cool, it's kind of in passing, so if you're not paying attention, you may miss it. We see the knife that was used to try to kill Bran.
To try to kill Bran and was held to Catelyn's throat that they thought belonged to Tyrion.
Yes, the one that was Littlefinger's.
I also made a note of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But he flips right past that because he sees a map of Dragonstone, and there is a mountain of dragonglass on Dragonstone. And Sam's like, "I need to let John know." So he's going to send John a ring. He's writing a note already.
I would also like to say, I thought Gilly had more to do with that. I thought she discovered it, and Sam was like, "Oh my God, you're right."
No, it's something else.
But I was wrong. There's which is a shame.
There's something else she discovers.
Yeah, right. I thought she discovered this. That's why I was confused. Yeah.
No. But she does point out, like, "Hey, that's important." So Sam is serving the cells of sick people, and this arm shoots out that we recognize. And
well, we don't necessarily recognize the arm, but we definitely recognize. I'm aware of that, Mom. There are plenty of people with grayscale. We recognize the fucking voice.
Right. So the voice is England. It's Jorah. Yay. And he asks, "Has she come yet?" And Sam's like, "Has who come?" And it's like, "Oh, it's the Dragon Queen. Has she come yet?" And he's like, "I've not heard anything." And you see, like, it's almost like he's mentally deteriorating. And he's in what appears to be almost like a cell. It's a hospital room, I guess.
It's quarantine.
It's quarantined. It's sad. And that is Old Town.
Winterfell. John says they need to find and mine Dragonglass. He also says they will train boys and girls for battle. We're not going to discriminate. You sexist pieces of shit. John says they need to man the wall using the wildlings, especially the closest castle to Hardhome, which is Eastwatch by the Sea. And Tormund has this amazing line of, looks like we're the Night's Watch now. It's just so funny.
You skipped Lyanna Mormont's great line here. They're talking about, oh, now we're going to train all the women. She's like, well, we're training all the girls on Bear Island. And I don't need permission from you to defend the North. Thanks.
True.
She's great.
Sansa, they're talking about what to do with the Umbers and the Karstarks who rose up against them with the Boltons. Sansa wants to give the Umber and Karstark homes to new families who were loyal to them. But John says he'll give them to the heirs to the castles after they argue about it in front of everybody. Young heirs swear fealty to the Starks. John just doesn't want the North divided, because if they're divided, then what's the point? Like, you're not going to be able to have a united front when the long night comes. So you need every living soul on your side, or on everyone's side. Just because there are no real sides other than living and dead in this battle, and we need all the living to actually pay attention and be united. John and Sansa argue about questioning his decisions in front of other people. She's like, well, you're just acting like Joffrey. Joffrey didn't like his decisions questioned. He's like, you think I'm Joffrey? Like, that was a jump. What? Yeah. And then she's like, you're not like Joffrey. I didn't mean that. But you need to, like, would it be so bad if you took my advice once in a while? And he's like, no, but I still have my decisions. And she, like, also says something about, you're doing a great job at this. Like, you really are. Like, you're great at ruling. And he's like, yeah, I didn't think I'd be good at this, but it's kind of working out pretty well.
And you're great at ruling. And then, but, and he's like, oh,
but,
yeah,
and everything you say before but is horse shit. That's what Dad always said. And she's like, you just need to take advice when it's a big decision like this. And he's like, advice from who? You? And she's like, would that suit be so terrible? And I'm like, Sansa, you're not the be-all end-all of all advice. Like, yes, he can take it into consideration, and he did in front of everybody. Can we not do it in front of everybody? Anyway, Sansa basically says he needs to be smarter than Rob and Ned, and to not just trust everybody around him, and to just make better decisions. And he's like, yeah, okay. They get a raven from King's Landing to come to King's Landing to pledge fealty to the new queen, Cersei. And Sansa does not seem very surprised that she has become queen now. And she's like, yeah, no, she's very devious. She's awful. But in a way, she kind of sounds like she admires her. And Sansa just says she learned a great deal from her. Later on, Brienne and Podrick are practicing in the courtyard, and Tormund is watching. And Podrick gets hit in the face by Brienne. And Tormund says, you lucky bastard. It's so funny. So Littlefinger approaches Sansa and wants her to be happy. And he's like, is there any way I can make you happy? And she's like, all I need right now is some peace and quiet, so please leave me alone. later on. Oh, is that it? That's it. Never mind.
She has one other really good line. So, like, Brienne comes up because she sees that Littlefinger's talking to Sansa, and it's like, Sansa kind of dismisses him. She's like, oh, there's no need to seize the last word. I'll assume
it's something clever.
Yeah. So nice. All right, so that is the episode. What were your best parts?
Arya, obviously, badass bitch. Podrick, Jon, Jorah, Tormund, Sansa, Hound, Sam, Euron's energy.
Not Euron, but Euron's energy.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I had Sansa, Arya, the Dragonstone set, I think is cool looking. The Hound, Jon, Ed, Euron's energy, Jaime, Bran, Lyanna Mormont, because anytime she gets a line, it's great.
Lyanna, yeah.
Yeah, Sam, Jorah, ? Podrick, Brienne, and Tormund. Again, that's like a very small thing, but whatever. What were your worst parts?
Seriously. Random Ed Sheeran. Like, what was the point of that? But I mean, I kind of liked the scene overall, but Ed Sheeran did not need to be there.
Well, you know why he was on the show.
Maisie right? Williams is a big fan, I know, but still, come on. Have him come to set for a day and just like meet her. Don't just have him in a random scene. It's not like he did a bad job at all. It's just kind of random. Anyway, long montages, question mark? Like, I remember when we first watched this episode and like the very end and like they arrive and we're like, oh my God, yay. And then there's just this long montage of them walking around and then and then she's like, shall we begin? And then it ends. And I'm just like, okay, that's it. Kind of anticlimactic for me because I didn't really care, but like still, because my problem is Dragonstone, and she mentions it's in the next episode, it's never really like her home though. It just doesn't make much sense to me. Anyway, and also Littlefinger.
Yeah. Littlefinger is awful. The Night King, of course, because he's scary as fuck. And you didn't mention, but they have White Walker giants in this army. Like, they do. Shit. Scary. Cersei, awful. And again, it's Euron being good, bad, whatever.
What he's so funny. B?
It's yeah, good. I gave it a B with a question mark also, so it's one of those. Okay.
It's fine.
Sure. So, what are our sections for season 7, episode 2, Stormborn?
Dragonstone, Winterfell, King's Landing, Road, Old Town, Boat. We should make sure boats last.
Yeah, boats. More sections than that. I've got Dragonstone, Winterfell, King's Landing, Old Town, and then I've got one more.
Road
and boats. Oh, okay. All right. So we do. I'm sorry. I just thought there were more of them. Never mind.
No. All right. I'm going to start since you started the last episode. I'm going to do road.
Okay.
Arya is at the inn, the like crossroads inn kind of thing that everyone ends up in at one point or another. She runs to the hot pie. And there's this really funny interaction where she's talking about how good the pie is, and he says the trick is browning the butter before making the crust, and then Arya says I didn't do that, and then he says you've been making pies, and she says one or two. It's so good. Hot pie tells her about Brienne looking for her and her sister, and she's like, yeah, no, she found me. And he's like, hey, what happened to you? And she's just like, give me some ale, and maybe I'll talk to you about it. He wonders why she isn't going to Winterfell, because she mentions she's going to King's Landing to kill Cersei. Well, not necessarily to kill her, but that Cersei's on the throne. And he wonders why she isn't going to Winterfell since the Boltons are dead and Jon is king of the North. And she's like, what? I'm sorry, what? And she's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going north. And she decides to go north instead of south. Thank fucking God.
And the Jon theme starts playing, by the way.
Because I was so, was it John's theme?
It might have been.
I thought it was the Stark theme.
I don't think it was the Stark theme, but go ahead.
Whatever. Later on, and I remember in the first episode when she said, oh, I'm going to kill the queen. I was like, oh, he should go to Winterfell. And now I'm just like, yay, she's going to Winterfell. Arya is camping in the forest, and her horse is acting up. She hears something approaching, and it's a pack of wolves led by her dire wolf, Nymeria, who's a big-ass girl. Good for her. She bulked up.
She bulked up
in the forest. Yeah. she has wolf steroids or something. She tells Arya tells her that she's going home and she can come with her. Nymeria leaves instead, and Arya says, that's not you, referring to her moment with Ned where he was talking about how she's gonna be the lady of a large keep and marry a nobleman, and she's like, no, that's not me. And she says, no, that's not you, you're off in your wild ways now, and this is the perfect place for you. You just do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And so that's road.
Yeah.
You want to do Old Town?
Sure.
No, King's Landing's really brief.
Okay.
Sorry.
King's Landing notes. All right, King's Landing. Cersei uses fear to quote unquote persuade Charlie and the Charlies in the other houses. She does this whole, oh, they're foreigners, they're coming, and we've got to protect our people, and you guys need to help. And
she did crucify all of the noblemen and killed masters and stuff.
Right, and she's got this army of Dothraki, and they're going to come, and they're going to invade, and it's going to be terrible. And the Tarleys are worried about these full-size dragons, because, look, she's got some full-size dragons. What are we going to do about that? And Kyber's kind of, working on it. And then after this meeting where Sam's dad is kind of like, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what side we should be on, but we got to go get prepared for war because war's coming. He walks out. Dickon says hi to Jamie.
And new Dickon, Luther from Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy, yes. And he's very sweet, actually.
He's also such so much more of a dork than the princes, which I kind of love for this character because his name is fucking Dickon.
Well, it's funny because Jamie's like, your name is what, Rickon? He's like, no,
Rickard or something. And then she's like, I'm Dickon. And then Jamie's like, right, okay.
As in, I have it. It snaps on and off.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway.
It's just funny to me. So Jamie wants to talk to the dad on the side. He's like, look, Lady Elena has been an oathbreaker. Sam's dad is kind of like, look, we're not oathbreakers. We swore an oath to House Tyrell. I've known Elena my whole life. And Jamie's kind of like, look, Elena is just broken. All she is angry. You're going to have to make a choice. Do you want these foreign savages coming and invading your lands? You could be warden of the South. And he's like,
I thought he would make him warden of the West.
No, actually, where Hornhill is, it's kind of central. Mm-hmm. Southern central. So, yeah, no. Then we see Qyburn and Cersei going down into the basement where the dragon skulls are. They look at Valyrian the Dread skull, which had been, of course, Valyrian the Dread had created the Iron Throne with his breath, so yay. Qyburn has created, with the help of a blacksmith in King's Landing.
I didn't even think of that.
Shout out to Gendry. Hoping it's Gendry. a big crossbow, and it shoots giant spears, but the spear penetrates the skull because the skulls apparently are very difficult to penetrate, skulls of dragons, so this does. But of course it's an ancient fucking skull, so I don't know how meaningful it is, but whatever, it seems to be meaningful to them, and Cersei is pleased.
All right, I'm gonna do Old Town and then we'll move on from there. Then you can do Winterfell, then I'll do Dragonstone, and then you can do Boat.
Oh, cool. All right.
See? Don't say I didn't give you anything. Dang. Jorah is being checked out by Slughorn and Sam, and his infection has spread to his chest and is very dark and gross. He has 6 months before his mind goes and years before it kills him. Sam brings up Shireen and how she was able to be cured, but Slughorn dismisses it because it's like, it was a baby. It's completely different, and it was not as advanced as this. So you do not understand. Jorah is allowed one more day before he is shipped off to Old Valyria, and he is considering killing himself. He glances at a sword. We kind of know what's going to happen. Jorah tells Sam his full name because Sam asks, hey, do you have any family that we need to contact about this? And he's like, and then he's like, Jorah Mormont. And he's like, Mormont? I know that name. And because you are Mormont. And so he says there's no need to send word to his family. He's been dead to them for a long, long time. Later on, Sam is with the Archmaester Slughorn in the library, and he's thinking, hey, maybe I think I found something to found a way to treat the grayscale, but the author who came up with it apparently died outside of grayscale, so it's forbidden to be practiced. Later on, Jorah is writing a goodbye letter to Daenerys, but Sam interrupts him. He opens the door, pushes his cart in, and it's another Sam hello that kills me. He's like, hello. It's so funny. Rewatch that moment. It is fucking hilarious. Hello. I had to rewind. It was so good. Hello. Sam says he will try to cure his grayscale, but it will hurt. Jorah lets him. He has to have like a strap in his mouth to keep him from screaming because Sam doesn't want him to get in trouble. Himself to get in trouble. But he has to scrape off the diseased skin, and it's so graphic. There's pus. It's gross.
This performance by Ian Glen is just, you feel it.
I was like, how? And also the makeup. Ooh.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Anyway, that's Old Town. You want to do Winterfell? Yes.
Sure, I will do Winterfell. And so we have John gets a raven. And the raven is related to stuff that happens in Dragonstone, so whatever.
I do Dragonstone? No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
But it's from Tyrion. And while John has met Tyrion, he doesn't know Tyrion. So he's like, all right. So,
I mean, they traveled for weeks on end to the Night's Watch, but that was years ago.
That, right. And, you know, everybody's changed. And, you know, obviously Sansa was married to him, and it's a lot more recent. So he says to Sansa, all right, you know him better than I do. Should I trust him? And she's like, you know, he's not as bad as the others, but he's still a Lannister, you know, whatever. They start talking about, you know, he's the way this note is written. It talks about, hey, we got some dragons. We've got some Dothraki. We should join up. We should join forces. You can come down here and bend the knee.
There's also a quote, all dwarves are bastards in their father's eyes, that makes John immediately know it's actually Tyrion,
right, as opposed to somebody else who could be sending and pretending to be Tyrion. Mm-hmm. So Davos is kind of like, well, wait a minute, you said before that fire kills the whites, you know, dragons have fire, that's need some dragons.
Keen observation, Watson.
Exactly. And sometime later John gets a raven from Sam and gets the note about, because he's not initially decided about whether he's going to go down to Dragonstone. In fact, he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But then he gets Sam's raven about there's a big mountain of dragon glass, on Dragonstone. And he's just like, yeah, we got to have dragon glass. We can't survive without that. And so I've got to go down there and figure out what the fuck is going on. But he announces this decision without talking to Sansa in front of the whole council. And again,
they do that a lot. Like, they really need some help with communication.
They do. They do. And so she's kind of like, what? You can't do that. That's like, people go south and die. Dad went south and died. You know, our grandfather and uncle went south and died. This is a bad idea. And what he says is, look, I've got to go to Dragonstone because we need dragon glass. And this whole time, Littlefinger's just sitting against the wall and watching, which he's done for like several episodes now. He does a whole lot of that. Yeah. But John also says, we need allies. And what Littlefinger is doing is he's watching Sansa react. Like, he's seeing like, oh, how can I manipulate this? Right. But John is saying, I need allies. We need to get her to fight with us. Davos and I are going to go and we're going to talk to them. Because he's noticed too, when they go on these envoys, Davos is really kind of good at getting the feel for the room and then making a good argument for things, which is true. That was true when he was with Stannis too. Mm-hmm. Sansa is like, it's a trap. And Lyanna and the other lords, you know, are all kind of against it. And Lyanna points out, she's like, we need the king of the north in the north because the winter, the fight is here. And you know, John's like, look, the odds are against us. We've got to get more people. So Sansa's pissed, you know, and he's like, I'm leaving the north in good hands. She's like, whose hands? She's like, yours.
Like, who else, Sansa? Like, and Sansa's wasn't like, just gonna leave it in like Lyanna Mormont's hands? No.
Yeah, so Sansa's kind of like, okay. And Littlefinger starts smiling like, I can manipulate Sansa. I can manipulate Sansa. Fuck you. John visits Ned's grave before he leaves. They've put up
a statue. This is such a weird move from Littlefinger. This next part is so,
it's
fucking
great.
Stupid for him.
Oh, but it's go great. Ahead.
I know it's great, but it's ridiculous.
So, because I'm a little pissed at John before this, but John's down there, you know, basically saying goodbye to Ned, and Littlefinger appears, and Littlefinger gives this idiotic speech about, oh, I was so sorry when he died. And he starts to talk about how
we both loved Catelyn.
Yeah, we both loved Catelyn, and I love your sister. And John is all, you can tell he's like grinding his teeth. He's like, you don't belong down here. I have nothing. And he's like, well, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. And he's like, I have nothing to say to you. He's like, well, I love your sister. I
the
love
way
your
I
enemy.
Loved your mother. Like,
yes,
no.
He says that. He says loved her that. Mother, and he's yeah. like, I'm not your enemy. And he's like, I love your sister the way I love your loved your mother. And John pulls a Ned. I love
oh,
this
God.
So much.
It's
he
so
grabs
good.
Littlefinger by the throat, puts him up against the wall, and he's going to strangle him to death. He's like, if you touch my sister, I will kill you myself.
I love that so much. I love that energy.
Yes.
Like it's very Ned. It's literally yes. what Ned did when he like Littlefinger was
found
taunting
Catelyn.
Him about having Catelyn up in the whorehouse. And
yeah.
then Ned just like backs him up against the wall.
Yes.
It's just like, you're a funny little man. You think you're gonna be funny after I kill you? It's just
yes.
like it's so good.
Yes, it's so great. So yeah, John then, you know, goes to ride off and he waves to Sansa, who waves back. And
I don't
Littlefinger
think his plan is a bad one because he's the only one who can really articulate what he saw and
well,
really
and,
convince.
And he's the king in the north, and he's right. Daenerys is not going to negotiate with someone else.
Exactly. Like no one else is. And so
it's
I
not a bad
Sansa's
plan.
Concern.
I'm kind of with them, like, things go bad when people go south. So anyway.
I would take more people with you. Not an army necessarily, but just people.
Yeah.
Just to try to help you out a little bit. But there's only so much he can do. He needs that dragon glass because without it, they're just fighting skeletons with just iron. And that's not really good. Or steel. It's not going to do much.
No.
Anyway.
It's not.
In Dragonstone, Daenerys is complaining about how it does not feel like home on a stormy night. she's like, I'm home. I don't feel like I'm home. And then Tyrion's like, don't worry, we're not gonna be here for long. And she's like, good. Daenerys wants to take the Seven Kingdoms, but Tyrion reminds her not to be the Queen of the Ashes again by conquering.
I roll.
Daenerys doesn't trust Varys. Varys is in this meeting as well, because of the assassination attempt. Fair. He says he doesn't believe in blind loyalty, but he chooses to be loyal to her. But he also can't help but what his eyes see. If he sees you go downhill, you can't expect him not to point it out to at least somebody. And she's like, well, if you need to be brutally honest with me, then if you see me go downhill, tell me. And that won't backfire at all. She says if he ever betrays her, she'll burn him alive. And he's like, I wouldn't expect anything less. Melisandre visits Daenerys. I don't know how she got there so quickly, but we're going to ignore that. And tells her about the prince or princess who was promised. Because yes, in Valyrian, it has no gender. So it could be prince or princess. Leaving it open-ended like I can't.
Yeah. Melisandre changes that up though. So Melisandre all the time has been saying prince, prince, prince. And Melisandre is like, no, it can be princess. Like, yeah, you can see where the loyalties are here. It's kind of crazy.
She tells her that the Lord will use Jon and Daenerys. He will use both of them in the war to come. Melisandre says to summon Jon to tell her about what he's seen. And Tyrion says Jon will make a valuable ally in the wars to come. Obviously, he doesn't know about the like fight up north. And of course, John's going to have to tell them, and they're not going to be happy about having to do any of that stuff for them without getting anything in return, or at least not knowing if they're going to get anything in return. Anyway, she sends a raven north telling him to bend the knee. I'm like, girl, just say you want to meet. Like, don't just be like, I expect you to bend the knee because I've done nothing to give you reason to do that except for B. Like, I'm like, fuck you.
I'm
like, go away.
Yeah.
Anyway, Yara, if they're at another strategy meeting with all of their allies. It's a girl boss thing. Yara says to take the Iron Throne now, regardless of the consequences. Like, I mean, she has all the resources. She could just do it. Tyrion is upset about... Tyrion's upset with Ilaria for killing Marcella, and Ilaria's upset that Oberyn gave his life for Tyrion. So there's a conflict there. Olenna just says it's best to rule by fear. Like, they're not going to, like, follow you if they don't fear you a little bit.
Daenerys... Her point is also that, like, I know Cersei. Cersei, the only thing that will even remotely get Cersei under control is fear.
Yeah. Daenerys says she won't attack King's Landing yet. They're going to use the Westerosi armies to lay siege to King's Landing. Yara will take Ilaria to Sunspear to get their army and take it to King's Landing to lay siege. Olenna will go home and get her army and bring it to King's Landing, and they'll all lay siege so it can't be like, oh, a foreigner's trying to invade our lands, even though that's still true. Grey Worm and the Unsullied will take Casterly Rock, which is what Rob was planning on doing with the Frey army, but he never got the chance to because the Freys suck. But no more. Missandei later on, Olenna tells Daenerys, you're not a sheep, you're a dragon. You need to act like a dragon. Like, you have dragons, use them. Like, I mean, like, what are you doing here if you're not going to be yourself and to use your resources? Like, because she was making fun of Daenerys for, like, okay, so you brought your armies because you wanted to just use our army? Like, what is that doing? And she's like, yeah, we're taking Casterly Rock. I'm like, okay, and? Like, what will that do? Like, nothing. Anyway. Olenna tells her to be the dragon she's born to be. Then later on, Missandei goes to Grey Worm's room and is upset he hasn't said goodbye to her, even though he is leaving the next day. He says it's hard to say goodbye to her and calls her his weakness, even though he used to be he says weakness because he used to be the bravest of the Unsullied. He had, like, no fear. But now that he has met her, he has fear that she will be hurt or that he will not be able to see her again, that kind of thing. He kisses her, and then she initiates sex. She, like, just takes off her clothes, and I'm just like, all right.
Takes off his clothes.
Yeah, and once they get to his pants, he's like, I don't know if I want to show you this, and she's like, please just show me. Like, I mean, come on. Look at this. Yeah, come on. He lets her, and I wrote down, we don't see much because as far as I know, the actor actually has a penis. So it's not like they were going to green screen that out or tuck it or anything like that. You can't do anything like that. And so I didn't know. He definitely does, but, like, still. Missandei, like, they got on the bed and he eats her out and whatever, because that's basically all he can do. That finger her. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, that's, I guess she could technically eat him out in a way, because he has to be able to pee somehow. Anyway.
You've thought about this far too much.
I didn't mean to. It just kind of happened.
Not that level of detail. No, I'm sorry. I will say this is a lovely scene between the two of them. That's very nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right. So boats. So there are sands on a boat. And that's the daughters. The daughters are in hammocks. They're yeah-yaying at each other about who's a mama's girl. In another chamber on the same boat are Yara, Ilaria, and Theon. Yara and Ilaria.
I'm sorry. Theon's reaction to this is just priceless.
Yara and Ilaria start.
They're both bi, obviously, so they're kind of connecting on that level. And Theon just gets up and tries to walk away, but Laura's like, "Hey, refill my ale," and then he's like, "I really want to leave."
Right. But, some of this is like, so Yara and Ilaria are flirting with each other, and Ilaria starts treating Theon like he's a servant because he's not. Yeah. He doesn't want to be part of their flirt thing. So what? He's a servant now? What the fuck? This is part of my I don't like Ilaria thing. She tries to, she starts to, like, do a foreign invasion on Yara, and Yara's like, I'm good with it. And Theon's kind of like, can I please go away? And yeah,
please leave Yara's her alone.
Basically so like, leave. Okay, you can do that. And they're about to, you know, things are about to happen when it's clear that the ship is that suddenly under fire. And Euron's big ass ship comes in. And it's scary looking. It's got the.
We finally get a perspective on how big the ship is because we saw it in the port of King's Landing, but not in comparison to smaller ships. So right. It can like go down and like just chomp.
Crush. Yes, and, exactly. Like, the gangplank sink. Is built like teeth, right? It's built like it's got teeth on the bottom and it clamps onto.
It's really
their
cool.
Ship. They T-bone other ships. It's like it's and it's fucking huge.
So you're on the gangplank just yelling. It's yeah. So good.
Yeah, right. He's like on the edge of the gangplank, yelling, and it comes
he's like,
down. Yeah, yeah. So he's roaring and laughing like a maniac.
So am I. He's so fucking funny.
Right. So they've got like a whole bunch of blood and fighting and fighting and blood. Alaria's daughter, Yara, goes up on deck and sends Alaria's daughter to Alaria to protect her. There's a bunch of fighting going on. The whole fleet is going down in flames around them. The Whip Girl and the Spear Girl try to fight Euron. Euron kills both of them at different times. I'm not doing this in order, but the Spear Girl is killed with her own spear. Whip Girl is strangled with her own whip.
He likes doing that.
Yeah, he does. Alaria and her daughter are to be captured. Yara, you know, sees Euron and jumps down to fight him. Yara is losing, and Theon fights another, and he's doing fine fighting other people. When he turns to fight Euron to help Yara, Euron's taunting him because Euron's got Yara around the neck with a knife to her neck, like, yeah, come on, Theon, come on, you can do it, you dickless, whatever. And Theon starts twitching. And
he gets PTSD with all of the blood around him.
It's not just the blood. It is specific to the family. And Yara is, you can see the dawning disappointment on her. Like, oh my God, he really is just like losing his shit. And Theon does lose his shit and jumps over the side.
I mean, I said this while we were watching, while me and Sophie were watching, I was just like, I would like to think that I would be brave enough to help my brother in that situation. But let's be clear. I probably would jump off the ship.
I would hope not.
I found it very funny, him jumping off the ship, kind of. Because I don't care enough about Yara. I mean, like, Yara's fine, but, like,
it was sad to
Theon's
me.
Just, like, I don't know.
It was sad to me. So he's, we are
it
left
was sad, with, but.
We are left with Theon, like, kind of paddling with a board in the water. And we see the Whip Girl and the Spear Girl kind of hanging from the yardarm of one of the ships. And that is the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
First, let me say, I think I would be able to at least try to help my brother in that situation. But, like, what would Theon do in that situation? Like, he's completely surrounded. Is he going to fight Euron? No.
I'm going to get in an argument about it. There are a number of maneuvers that... That may or may not have helped, hard to say, but I would hope that something would be done. Anyway,
sure. I think I would try, but I'd probably fail. But so would Theon in many universes. Anyway, best parts, Varys, for just being like, I'm not going to be blindly loyal to you. You're used to that. I'm not doing that shit. I'm going to call you out on it. Sam... for helping out Jorah. Missandei and Grey Worm, good for you. The makeup for Jorah is insane. Jon for recognizing he only has one choice and at least he just has to go do what he has to do. Sansa and Euron's energy.
Yeah, I've got Euron question mark, Yara question mark. I don't think Yara is the best part. Olenna.
No.
Jon. Sort of not. Sansa, yes. Brienne, yes. Kind of, sort of. The Tarleys, kind of not. Varys, eh. Sam, I really love. Jorah, I love. Nymeria and Arya.
I forgot about that.
I love Nymeria and Arya.
And Hot Pie.
That's true. Fair. Okay. What were your worst parts?
Cersei, graphic grayscale extraction, Littlefinger, Euron, and Theon jumping overboard.
Yeah, Theon for sure. Danny, I think, is a worse part.
Oh,
Littlefinger.
Daenerys. Yeah, her being like, bend the knee. It's like, fuck you.
Well, it's not just the bend the knee. It's the, I'm going to do this stupid ass plan that Tyrion came up with. Like, why are you doing this?
She has all of the resources to just fucking do it. Like, just yeah. do it.
Yeah, just do it. Littlefinger, because fucking Littlefinger. Oh my God. Cersei and Jamie question mark. What was the grade you gave this episode?
B. I mean, yeah. It has some good action in it, but it's just kind of a B.
It's kind of a B to me too, because I think, you know, the like Theon losing his shit, I don't have as much invested in that. You know, those kinds of things.
I don't, and I think that's the reason why I was able to joke about it. Like, if I were seriously in that situation with my brother in that situation, I would do something, but in the situation with Theon and Yara, I didn't really care as much, because obviously I'm not invested. Like, I would be invested if it was my brother, but like for Yara and Theon, they never really had that close of a relationship. Yeah. And Yara just kind of they just didn't really work close. So it's not, if it was like a Stark kind of situation where it's like Rickon and Bran or something, like, or any of the Starks really, I would be way more invested in it. But like, it's Theon.
So there were things that were good, but again, I don't care that the Sands died that much.
They need to go. I was just so over it. This showed how expendable they were, and I was just like, yeah, you're not really useful, are you?
Yeah. So, all right. So we have not as much of season 7, because there's not as much of season 7 generally. We are looking forward to sharing it with you, though, and we are hoping that you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.